Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 20th year. As always, I'm your host, Jess Marquez, and our guest this week is Steve Galloway, managing partner at GMA Consulting, to talk about the Albanian market and the opportunities it currently presents. When discussing the thriving or perhaps even burgeoning gaming markets around the world, Albania is not often among the first mentioned. But industry veteran Steve Galloway of GMA Consulting argues that the country presents some fascinating opportunities for those willing to invest. Galloway has done extensive work on analyzing the market and points to several factors that make it attractive for small and medium-sized developments. He and I spoke at the ICE Barcelona conference in January.
Steve, thank you so much for joining me. I know it's a bit crazy. You know, it's ICE Barcelona for the first time. We're still kind of feeling it out, you know,
yep.
kind of a new experience for everybody. So again, thanks for being
absolutely
here.
It's a great show, though. That's much better here than in London.
Well, up for debate, I guess, amongst stakeholders. But I think it's nice. It's my first time here. Have you ever been here before?
I've been to Barcelona a couple times. Never been to this conference center before. Yeah. But Barcelona is a fantastic town.
I agree.
And I think it's a better location than XL.
So I was telling you off air that, you know, the GMA is obviously such a big presence in the industry worldwide, and I've been thankful to get to know you guys and really learn a lot from you guys. And I think you're probably the only one that I haven't gotten to really meet so far, so it's great to get together and do this.
Same here.
So as I always like to do on these interviews, I like to learn about the guests. So I know, I'm sure your resume is quite extensive. You don't have to go line by line, but just kind of for anybody who may not be familiar with you, how'd you get here?
Sure. I grew up in the casino business since I was 8 years old. My father worked in it, so I lived everywhere around the world. And I started consulting. I started working in casinos when I was 17 years old.
Wow.
I was actually a parking valet in Atlantic City. Then a busboy in the New Dilly, the Taj Mahal, and just kind of worked my way up. And then started consulting about 20 years ago, really focusing initially on feasibility studies and then getting much more involved in operations. And then really looking at how you can make more money outside just the casino.
Sure.
You know, the casino is still our bread and butter, and we love that, but it's what surrounds it that doesn't just feed the casino. Now you have to make money out of it too. So most of our work now is really doing more deep dives into people's operations, helping them make more money, and also focusing on the non-gaming. And everywhere around the world. I've been to 71 different countries.
Wow.
There is not a jurisdiction in the world that I have not worked in.
I think that's like 68 more than me. Probably somewhere along those lines.
So it's fun. And the past 2.5 years, I was working on trying to get a project off the ground in Albania, which is a phenomenal market.
Sure. So we'll touch on that a lot here throughout the discussion. But you know, it's interesting. I frequently tell people, you know, I also kind of grew up around gaming, being born and raised in Reno, Nevada. So I was in and out of casinos my entire life. And it's interesting actually joining the industry as I did about 3 years ago. And I always tell people, like, I can't help but feel like this is just a fascinating time of the industry in terms of growth, diversity, and it's always interesting, but especially now, you know, with everything going on. So I'm sure you guys, I guess you could say, have no shortage of work in terms of what you guys do. As gaming has never been bigger, obviously, not even just in terms of just pure numbers, but obviously influence, impact, et cetera. So it's definitely an interesting time.
It's fascinating in our company just to watch the diversity of our projects.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago, you were focusing on the casino aspect. Maybe look a little bit around the casino, right? Now, maybe a third of our projects are casino focused, whereas the others are sports betting, they're iGaming, mm-hmm. or they're completely non-gaming related at all,
mm-hmm.
which is really interesting. But it's just watching the industry grow, mature. Even growing up as a kid, people used to look down on the casino industry.
Sure.
They used to look down on us as hotel operators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you used to
or
be
even less so. You know,
less so. Yeah. But now we operate the largest hotels in the world.
Yes,
you know, it's a lot harder to operate a 5,000 room integrated resort mm-hmm. than it is a 400 room standalone hotel.
Sure. So, full disclosure for the audience, you know, this is interesting. Most of the time when I do these interviews, I will reach out. I will come up either with a topic or with a particular company, what have you. I'll reach out to the subject, and you know, things will kind of go from there. But with Steve, you know, I really said, you know, I'm here at ICE, you know, I want to talk about international, just wherever you want to go, you know, just I'll give it to you, you know, where I can go, I can riff off of whatever you want to. And he came back and he said, well, I really want to talk about Albania. And I think when I read that email, I think in my head I was like, you could have given me probably 8 to 10 guesses of what I would have thought, you know what I mean? And that would not have been on that list. So I'm extremely interested to hear more and dive into this whole conversation. But I guess basically, just for the sake of kind of context, obviously Albania is not the biggest or more prestigious market, but basically, obviously, kind of geographically, it's kind of like interesting. It's like almost like a center line, I guess you would say, between Western and Eastern Europe. It's like right kind of along that.
It's 60 miles on the other side of the Adriatic from Italy.
Yeah.
Just north of Greece.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about Albania, geographically, it is phenomenally well located.
Yeah.
And you can get to basically any city in Europe on a direct flight that's about 2 hours.
Wow.
Very, very easy. It's also a very cosmopolitan city in Tirana. Mm-hmm. You go to this town, it is alive. People are at bars all the time. You know, people have a misperception of Albania as they think of the movies War Dogs and Taken.
Sure, sure.
You know? But that is far from what Albania is. It is not a heavy Muslim country. They don't really celebrate religion much. But they're very family-centric. And they love having fun. Mm-hmm. They love drinking. They love their cigarettes.
Sure.
And it is also the best food anywhere in the world. Not the Albanian cuisine, but the food.
Mm.
They all went after the proverbial wall fell in 91.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone kind of left, went to Italy, went to Spain, went to France. They learned how to cook. And then they came back and opened the restaurants there. And it's just the best food, the best service. And you're talking about a market whose tourism population has been exploding. I mean, before the pandemic, I think it was like 3.7 million tourists. In 2023, they broke the 10 million mark.
Wow.
And this year, the stats aren't out yet, but I'm hearing, and I believe it from being there and seeing it, there are 13, 14 million.
Wow.
Those are big numbers.
Definitely. So in terms of gaming, obviously the country has a pretty, you know, sizable casino market, land-based casino market. And just for context, obviously, they, in terms of political legislation, they had basically a sweeping ban, as I understand. A lot of, most forms of gaming were effectively outlawed in 2019. Late 2023, early 2024, that was, from what I understand, kind of reversed, and I believe I let you take it over since then.
Yeah, I'll give you a little details on that. So, the country's had a number of casinos for years, mm-hmm. but they're your kind of stereotypical Eastern European casinos.
Okay.
They're located in the basement floor
sure.
of a hotel. Whatever clothes you wear, get ready to throw them away because you're going to reek of smoke. You know, I mean, it's generally a very bad
sure.
experience. What happened in 1819 was there used to be, I think it was 12,000 machines around the country, like in little slot parlors.
Okay.
And the prime minister did not like them, Edi Rama, who is very well respected, a very powerful prime minister. And he said, we're going to shut them all down. I didn't believe it because that never happens. They actually shut every single one down, which just left three casinos. Now there are five casinos, but none of them, again, it's that same Eastern European casino. For us, when we went in to go look at the market, I went there to go do a study in 18, and I was blown away by the city because it was the complete opposite of what I expected in my head.
Sure.
And I went there, I just absolutely fell in love with it. So I started going back a little more, started understanding the opportunity, and I mean, it's a local play,
mm-hmm.
But there's also a huge tourism play.
Sure.
You know, you've got, from Italy alone, you have 43 direct flights a day. 43.
Wow.
It's the third most connected city in Italy, even though it's in Albania.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Rome, Milan, Tirana. So you have statistics like that. You have people coming in, particularly like Italians. Italians love to gamble, but they can't gamble in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Greeks love to gamble. The casinos there are limited and not great. And if you can get the right permissions from the government, that's the project I was working on, we're still working on getting through. But the opportunity is substantial. A huge advantage over there too is they love Americans. The U.S. Embassy is extraordinarily influential and powerful there. It's actually, they have 63 full-time Vike families living there. It is a big embassy. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of where the U.S. holds and is able to kind of look over the Balkans. And the Albanians welcome that. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice going there where people just have open arms and just welcome you as American, and they want to see investment. They're dying for investment. But you're also starting to see, it is a very, this is going to sound weird, it's a very wealthy country.
Sure.
You know, and it used to be the U.S. State Department last year finally changed their tune. They stopped calling it a poor, underdeveloped country, and it's now an upper middle income European country. That's a big shift in going to that statement.
Sure.
And when you talk about an upper middle income country, and when you see a lot of Europe that's, it's not as fun in many cities anymore. Barcelona's great, but it's not as alive. When you go to Tijuana and it is just on fire. Every single person that we bring there to look at it just wants to come back. And it's not just the city of Tijuana, which is amazing. It's the coast. You go 45 minutes away from Tijuana and you're on the coast. You go down to Vlora, Hamara, down to Saranda. I mean, these are cities on the coast that have the most beautiful water you've ever seen. You have more and more resorts getting developed, and you have amazing hospitality. It's just part of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to a resort, you go to a restaurant, they just take care of it. Right, you'll be having a dinner and you'll have your plates changed out 5 times. And every time you change your plates out, they change your forks out, knives out. It's just, it's amazing service. And then you leave there and you go to America, Western Europe.
Sure.
And it's just not the same.
Sure.
And you just want to go back. And the other thing about it that makes it so incredible are the people and the lack of crime. I was there for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw one bar fight.
Wow.
I don't think I've been to a bar in the United States or don't see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
2.5 crazy. 2.5 hours, yeah.
Yeah, 2.5. You just don't see it. You don't see, you let your children walk on the street in the city at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman was out late and was lost, people come just help her. No one's gonna take advantage of them. And it is such a great culture where it's so relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great place to be. I love going there every time. I'm actually going there in 3 days.
Nice. You know, it's interesting as we talk and I kind of think about it, like, it's interesting to me in terms of, so what it sounds like, from what you're talking about, it's a very, like, what you're focused on or excited about is very much this land-based opportunity and kind of tourism driver. And that's interesting in the sense that, like, we see these pockets around the world now that are, I guess if you want to say in juxtaposition to like the global kind of digital movement,
mm-hmm.
we see these other pockets around the world that are very much interested in the land-based investment, whether it be some Asian countries, obviously. There's obviously still some pockets of the U.S. that are very interested in land-based development. So it sounds like Albania is what to you is one of those kind of bright spots in terms of where land-based is, rather than languishing, is very much like kind of in demand or a growth opportunity there.
You've got a big cash market, which is always great for a land-based casino.
Sure.
You have a very reasonable tax rate.
Okay.
You know, you're talking, I think it's 12.5% on tables and 25% on slots.
Oh.
That's fine. That's an easy tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
You have very low income taxes, very low property taxes. It's a very tax-friendly environment. You know, when you look at the rest of Western Europe, one of the parts, the difficulty of operating casinos in Western Europe are the tax rates.
Sure.
And so I think there, you know, we haven't seen a true integrated resort in Europe yet. We just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And for really any jurisdiction, put Vegas aside, but where you have large-scale integrated resorts, you have both a locals play and a tourist play.
Sure.
Right, even look at Macau, right? Guangdong Province is a gigantic portion of it. It's a locals market. And in Albania, it's the same thing. You have tons of demand from locals. Albanians love going to countries such as Montenegro to gamble. They don't do much in Albania because of the casino product that's there today. But you don't see any women in the casinos today because of what they are. When you went to the slot parlors in 18, it was all women.
Sure.
It was like a bunch of Dotties.
Man, that cuts deep.
yeah, but they were popular. And so if you give the people the product, they will come.
Sure.
And then for tourists, it's such an easy airport. From the time you land, within 10 minutes, you're through immigration. They have the machines for those countries that have the biometric ones, which are great. Mm-hmm. Or you go to the counters, but I've never been in line for more than 10 minutes.
Really?
It's usually about a minute.
Wow.
And then your luggage will be coming off within 5 minutes. I don't know how they do it, but it's incredible. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the tourist, it's easy for them to come. And you look for people coming from Italy, for example, it's almost easier to go to the airport, hop on a flight to Tirana versus would be actually having to drive to a city or having to go to a conference center, and it's a lot less expensive.
Sure.
One of their biggest problems they have right now is a lack of hotel supply, because it's just hard to keep up with that type of demand. Airbnbs are through the roof. They just opened a Marriott last year, and now they're opening, there's a Hyatt under construction, a Hilton, a true five-star Intercontinental should open next year, but you're getting that base coming in, and the more you build it, they will come.
Sure.
And when you have that many tourists coming in, and you got that many people having fun, going out having a good time, they want to gamble too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give them the right product, they will use it, and you can make a lot of money out of it. I know of two projects, which I can't publicly discuss either one of them,
sure,
but two different American groups who are actively working on developing a big casino there.
Sure. Talk to me about regulatory structure, what's kind of your take on that? Obviously, that's a huge part, especially as you kind of get farther eastern into Europe. Obviously, that's a big governmental relations, regulatory stuff.
Yeah.
So what's your just kind of take on that?
From a regulatory perspective, we're able to influence some revisions to the gaming law last year, just looking to clarify them, which we're successful at. So in terms of the gaming law, it's very clear what the taxes are, very, very easy to understand, very easy to understand how you get a license. You have to have what's called a five-star hotel. By their definition, it's not our definition of five-star hotel, but a nice hotel, a Marriott, that qualifies as a five-star hotel. And then you have the right for a gaming license. Different from the United States, gaming licenses there are more of a right based on the product you have versus a privilege.
Interesting.
So I don't really ever see the risk of gaming licenses just being taken from the government. Now, AML, KYC related, you really need to do that yourself. They have a gaming commission. It's not very active.
Okay.
So it's really kind of, if you look at when LVS went into Macau and the regulatory authority then wasn't strong, and they basically bought over their best practices from Nevada and kind of set up their own regulatory. And that's how you have to do it over there. You kind of have to self-regulate to make sure that you don't want to put your license as a risk in any other jurisdiction. So let's say if Nevada came and look at it, except here's what we're doing. But you have to align yourself for that.
Now, I guess in terms of if you were, so let's say, let's call it best case scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say fully mature or at least a much more developed Albanian market. What do you think, what does that represent to you in terms of the nearby, whether in Europe or just kind of in the global sense? What is it? What does a fully developed, very active Albanian market kind of, what does that do for the gaming industry?
It's tough in the gaming industry because the numbers aren't big enough.
Sure. I think that's kind of the rub, right?
They're not big enough to attract a Caesars,
sure,
an MGM, Wynn. For those guys who do a casino, they got to be making at least $500 million in GGR.
Sure.
Just realistically, mm-hmm, if looking at a new market. This is a much smaller play. The market today is probably $150 million.
Okay.
Can that be doubled, tripled over time? Sure. I mean, you have 10 million tourists, 13 million tourists right now. You have a population, Tirana keeps growing, it's just over a million people. but with a lot of cash, a lot of disposable income. So for someone who's more independent, you know, to do 75, 100 million in GGR, that's realistic. If you do it right, if you build the right product, you're not doing 150, you're not doing 200. And I don't know if the market ever would get there.
True.
So that's what, you know, from the industry, I think what it does is it just gives the opportunity to build new fun casinos, build a good product. But as we've learned, as Vegas showed, the difference with Tirana is you're not making money just on the casino, right? You actually make money on food and beverage there, because labor is inexpensive, cost of goods are generally inexpensive, and you can charge pretty good prices. You know, you're talking about, if you go to a nice restaurant, you're gonna pay 100, 110 bucks a head. So compared to Western Europe, the United States, it's definitely inexpensive, but it's not cheap.
Sure.
So when you can charge people money like that, you're making good margin on that. On your hotel rooms, you know, you're seeing ADRs now north of 200, which you didn't see before. You know, years ago, you're pushing 100. You go to stay at the Marriott now, you're gonna be paying 175, 225 a night, and it keeps going up. So when you have that much of an ADR, your cost of goods aren't that much. You have to flip a room, it's 20 bucks a night. So you get good margin on the hotel. As you can start adding up those items, you just have a really nice resort where you can be paying some pretty good money. But again, it's not gonna be large enough for a huge operator. But there are a lot of guys out there who would love to have a project that's generating 25 to 50 million of EBITDA.
Sounds good to me, right?
Yeah.
One thing, okay, like, and this may not be a big factor, right? But as somebody who, you spend a lot of time there, you live there, you kind of get more of a sense of like a, you know, as a culture, as a place, more so than just a market for people to go to. Like, one thing that's interesting to me about gambling in particular, as opposed to many other industries, is there's a cultural aspect of it too, right? And that kind of you can either fuel or kind of hurt the industry, right? Like if you kind of do it on a scale of like, let's say like Las Vegas is like, gambling is very enshrined in the culture of it, mm-hmm. versus comparatively on the opposite end, maybe like a UAE or like a South Korea or something where it's like not in like their culture at all. And it's kind of like, where would you put Albania on that scale in terms of like the cultural acceptance or thereof of gambling?
It's a hybrid.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is, you know, very often when you go to countries that are anti-gambling, mm-hmm. it has a lot to do with religion.
Yeah, exactly.
During communism, religion wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
So, you know, while people there, I think the country is like 25% Christian, 75% Muslim, but they're not practicing
sure.
Muslims. So for them, the religion there is, it's not an issue. And they are a culture that like to have fun. And the slot parlors were slammed when they were open. So again, it goes to, if you give them the right product, they will use it. But you also have to be careful with a casino. It can't be fully open in their face like in Las Vegas. I don't think that would go over well. I mean, I think they'd perceive they don't want their kids to walk through. There still is that perception like you have in Europe that a casino is a casino. So I would still want to put it on the main floor, into the ground level of the resort. But you have to shield it a little bit, a little opaque glass, you know,
sure.
where people can feel the energy from it, but it's not in your face. But if you do that, and also I think a lot of people would not want to be seen fully, you know, so, but if you can kind of be a little discreet with it.
Tasteful.
Be tasteful. And then people will do it. Again, it's a culture that loves to go out and have fun. And that's what's so key is the problem, in my opinion, with the casinos that are there today is they're just Eastern European grind joints,
yeah.
just trying to get all of your
dollar, yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not an entertainment experience.
Sure.
If you can build a proper casino that is an entertainment experience, they'll embrace it. If you build a proper casino that is welcoming to women, they will come and play. I've talked to many women in Albania. They just don't feel comfortable going to the casinos. You know, you got a guy wearing the black jacket, the security guy,
yeah.
tapping you down, you're going through a metal detector, and it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
And then you walk into a wall of smoke.
Yep, yep. So this has been really interesting. I mean, I came into this completely open, and I feel like I've learned a lot. It's really interesting. I've never, obviously, had this much of an in-depth discussion
sure.
about Albania, and I really appreciate it. But, like, so I guess to kind of finish it out, and, like, as a parting thought, like, so you're back in the States now, right? You're,
yep.
you're no longer, so like, I guess, are you kind of like, what's your kind of final takeaway or kind of where are you at right now in terms of?
In terms of the project, I kind of I did there what I needed to do to get things set up.
Yeah.
And the key for our project is waiting for government approval, which I have learned in international developments to just be patient.
Mm-hmm.
things can take time. But the key takeaway, and one thing I could tell anyone who listens to this podcast or is interested in Albania, don't trust me, just go there.
Sure.
Like if you just hop on a plane, go there in the summertime, go to a beach resort, go to Tirana, you will fall in love with the country just like everyone else does. And that's why the tourism jumps up every year. You just need to go.
You heard it here first. So thanks again, Steve. This has been really great. You know, it's really appreciate you doing
thank
this.
You, Jess.
I figure maybe next time, you know, we'll meet in Vegas and we'll talk about Singapore or something like that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll get as far away as we can possibly can. But thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We thank you for joining us on this episode of the GGB Podcast. To learn more about Steve, GMA, and all the important issues in gaming, visit ggbmagazine.com. To stay abreast of the weekly news of the gaming industry, visit ggbnews.com. Don't miss an episode by subscribing on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.